So when they deny that there's a deep state, I'm sorry, Chuck Schumer is the one who said they'll come after all of us if we try to do anything about it.
Welcome, everybody. Alex Newman here. We have a very special guest with us. His name is J. Michael Waller. He is a senior analyst for strategy at the Center for Security Policy, a great, great organization. We've had a lot of their folks on over the years. He's also president of Georgetown Research, it's a political risk and private intelligence company. He worked for the CIA in Central America. He did some groundbreaking scholarship after the Soviet Empire's breakup. He taught history and methods at America's premier intelligence schools, and his work has been just about everywhere you can think of, New York Post, Washington Times, Washington Examiner, The Federalist, Wall Street Journal. He's been everywhere and really, really knowledgeable on intelligence agencies. He's actually got a new book out now. It's called Big Intel, How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains. And wow, we are really excited about this book. This is something that a lot of Americans have been asking themselves, like, what happened? When we were kids, the FBI was cool, and the kids would play FBI and bust indoors. Now people are like, ugh. So, Mike, tell us what happened here. I mean, describe the process of how we went from respected, honest, legitimate intelligence and federal law enforcement agencies to now what looks to a lot of people to be like a syndicate that's out there persecuting political enemies of the current administration.
It's kind of like when you let your health go and all of a sudden you have stage 3 or stage 4 cancer, and there might or might not be time to save the patient, but it's because of a lot of neglect and a lot of bad things coming in that finally caused everything to fall out in what seemed like all of a sudden. The real tipping point came in about 2011 when Obama issued presidential orders for diversity, equity, and inclusion to be forced on the whole government bureaucracy, including the intelligence services. But he'd already placed at the top of those services the right people with the political agendas to implement this with a vengeance. That's when everything broke. But leading up to that, it really began a century ago.
Well, let's start a century ago then. People see what's happening now, spying on parents who speak out too loudly at school board meetings. Like, really, this clown car? But so what? Where did it start a century ago? I mean, chronicle this for us. How did we get from there to here?
It was a really long process, and it didn't begin here. It began, first, the book was only supposed to be about Obama, Trump, Biden, period. Then I started tracking back, well, who started it? How did it begin? What were the ideological underpinnings? Who framed that? Who were they working with or for or under? Who trained them? Then you go back further and further and further to a meeting in 1922 in Moscow at the Marx Engels Institute, run by the Comintern, that's the Communist International, which was this new Soviet network of international communist parties, all under Soviet control. And with Felix Dzerzhinsky, who was the founder of the Cheka, what became the Soviet KGB. And they were evaluating the possibilities for world revolution and decided we're not going to have another Bolshevik-style revolution in Europe and in North America. We have to do something different. So what they decided to do was to promote in those countries cultural warfare, cultural Marxism, to use culture as a weapon to destroy patriotism, religious faith, confidence in moral authorities, belief in, all the moral and philosophical limitations on our human nature that sort of keep us basically as good as people can be. And to destroy all of that, to destroy the nuclear family, to sexualize children, to create art that depresses and degrades instead of uplifts. All of these things was the new element of warfare for this 1922 meeting. So they did it through a school that they set up in Frankfurt, Germany, known as the Frankfurt School, to use culture as a weapon. And this is where we get the weaponization of cultural Marxism.
That's fascinating. You're going back 100 years here, and there was a lot of Americans who were trying to sound the alarm about Soviet operations directed against the United States, not just penetration of the intelligence agencies and law enforcement and military, but also some of the cultural things that you're talking about. And unfortunately, the media dismissed a lot of that as just crazy right-wing conspiracy talk. You know, because we remember what they did to Senator McCarthy. Now, a lot of those things that they were talking about, of course, have been confirmed. We had the decryption of the Venona documents showing that, you know, hundreds of these Soviet agents were all up and down. So what went wrong? Why was it that Americans and our federal law enforcement and our intelligence agencies, why didn't they clearly recognize this threat and deal with it and instead allowed it to metastasize to the point where now we have this?
Yeah. You had two groups. The first one to warn us about this in a systematic way was a 25-year-old Justice Department lawyer named John Edgar Hoover. And this was back in 1920. When he prepared testimony before Congress, explaining what the brand new U.S. Communist Party, which was founded just the year before, it's not just another party. This is extremists who want to overthrow our constitutional government, and they're doing it as instruments of a foreign power. So Hoover spent his life in the Justice Department warning us throughout his entire career, up to when he died in 1972. And so in researching Big Intel, I went through Hoover's speeches, his testimony, his books, his articles, everything, and found that he was warning about what has precisely happened. Infiltration of our education system, infiltration of all branches of government, infiltration of law, of journalism, of art, culture, entertainment, churches, everything. He warned about it time and again, and he was right the entire time.
And I mean, today you ask a lot of people about J. Edgar Hoover, especially the younger generations, and all they know is the smears that he was supposedly a crossdresser, that he was supposedly persecuting innocent people for their political opinions, that they just seem to have a way of trying to destroy the character and reputation of people who stand in their way. In the second segment, I want to talk to you more about, like, all right, this is the reality. Now, what do we do about this? But explain, how could this have happened? I mean, Americans back then were, I think, more sensible. They were correctly concerned about communism. How did all this infiltration happen? And how did they get away with it in a way that they were able to kind of sideline the people who were warning about this and continue to weasel their way into power to the point where now they seem to have taken over so many of our cultural institutions based on this model?
Well, when Hoover identified it, it was mostly foreign-born communists, radical Marxists, radical socialists, and anarchists. It was his job to round them up and send them back to Russia, which he did. So the left hated him from the very start. In fact, this was why the ACLU was founded in the early 1920s, was to fight J. Edgar Hoover rounding up foreign communists and anarchists to overthrow our government. So that's how it began. So you had people on the left in America who sympathized with these ideas, or at least sympathized with what they thought were victims of repression or victims of racism or anti-foreign hatred or whatever, same kind of themes that we're faced with now a century later. And they defended them. And then so World War II starts to come. So you get the 1930s, you get the Frankfurt School in Germany. They're now pushed out of Germany. Many of them come to North America. And with the negotiation of the spouse of a Soviet intelligence officer, and they worked in husband and wife teams back then, they landed at Columbia University with its teachers' college, where they embedded themselves to teach the teachers to spread out through American schools. So World War II comes about, and we set up the Office of Strategic Services, our intelligence service, need all sorts of subject matter experts and linguists and really smart people from those areas. And the OSS brought in all these communists, foreign-born communists, into our intelligence community. And that's how it began nesting inside the intelligence community. The FBI was resistant through Hoover's death, but not the others.
Amazing. Yeah, I actually have a piece from Charles Pink. He wrote a letter to the editor of the Washington Post responding to a column by Dick Novak, where Novak had said that the OSS and intelligence had been infiltrated by communists. And Charles Pink, the head of the OSS Society, said, no, we weren't infiltrated. We hired them. And like, oh, my goodness. Wow. Amazing. Yeah. Mike, this is so explosive. And I think it is a dark omen about where we may be headed as a country. So when we get back from the break on the other side, I want to ask you about what happens if we continue down this path. And hopefully you have some ideas. I know you talk some about in the book how we can get back to having legitimate intelligence agencies, legitimate law enforcement agencies that can actually do what they're supposed to, which is, of course, uphold the Constitution, protect our country from those who would do us harm. So, folks, stay with us. We're going to be right back with more from J. Michael Waller on his explosive new book on big intel. We will be right back after these quick messages. Stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Alan Keyes. I'm the host of IMTV's daily talk show about news and events in America. And I want to say a good word for the New American Magazine. Not only because Alex Newman has joined us as somebody who is periodically hosting a show, but because New American Magazine represents an alternative media that is willing to tell people the truth. With so much fake news spreading about, and the fact that right now this country's in an existential crisis, we remember who we are and where we come from and what our principles are, or we die. Reading New American Magazine can keep you up to the minute on the issues that are challenging us as a people and on which that survival hangs. You can check it out and subscribe at www.thenewamerican.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Alex Newman here. We have our guest with us, J. Michael Waller. He is a senior analyst for strategy at the Center for Security Policy, and he's got a new book out that I cannot recommend highly enough, folks. This is one of the most important stories of our lifetimes, and if we don't get this right, it is not going to go well for us or for our children. In fact, we may be explaining to our grandchildren how this happened to our country, how we went from a free society with protection for individual rights enshrined in our Constitution to whatever nightmare we are rapidly becoming. Mike, thank you for staying with us over the break. You talked a little bit about how this happened, the 100-year process. It had really accelerated, of course, under Barack Obama with these DEI mandates and diversity. And I mean, now you're at the point where they're actually trying to purge law enforcement at the federal level and the intelligence agencies of people who are conservative, constitutionalists, patriotic. You know, they're recruiting at pride parades now. It's truly incredible. Where are we going if this doesn't stop? I mean, Dinesh D'Souza's movie, of course, was a big wake-up call for a lot of people. There are a lot of people who are worried that, you know, the FBI may kick in their door because they were protesting what they see as election fraud on January 6th. I mean, people are scared. Where are we headed if we don't deal with this, Mike?
It's not going to get better if we don't deal with it, because what you see happening, if you go to at FBI jobs on Twitter, X, you look at who they're recruiting, they're only recruiting woke people. All their advertising is targeted at the woke, with exception of people with certain computer and technical skills. So if from the bottom, they're stuffing the FBI with woke 20-something year olds, and that the top upper two levels of management, which were created to centralize the Bureau after 9/11, they've either been held captive by woke people or they're woke people themselves. Like FBI Director Wray isn't woke, but he's completely cuckolded by the woke management at the top. So he's every bit part of the problem consciously. It's going to become a politicized FBI. We've always had an FBI that had some kind of involvement in American politics one way or the other, like it or not, whether it was legal or not, it was there. But it never was targeting half the American population. It never had ordinary Americans living in fear to challenge the school board members that they elected who are running the government employees who are now taking your kids and saying, no, they're not your children. They're all of our children. And then brainwashing them in a sick stuff that no parent, you know, would ever want to have their kids be subjected to. And all of a sudden now that becomes a federal offense. So we never had this before. It's only going to get worse. And not only that, even if it didn't get worse in that level, if you have a world where man is not man, woman is not woman, there are whatever number of genders, history is not history, everything is rewritten, everything's put in the memory hole, and now you've got government people acting like Winston Smith in Orwell's 1984, making people unpeople or non-people. You know, who are we at war against today? Well, whatever. You read 1984 and you'll see that was a British, you know, almost a dark satire. But if you look at it, it's really spooky the way it's happening because it's human nature. Bureaucracies are always going to look for this. So if evidence is not evidence anymore, or evidence can be interpreted to be whatever you want evidence to be because fact is not fact, in law enforcement, in counterintelligence, and then in the CIA, in foreign intelligence, then we're off to something terrible as a country. So you can be prosecuted then on facts not being facts. And we're seeing this two-tiered sense of system of justice is already here. So it's not going to get any better because the woke people going through the woke law schools that teach critical law theory, it's like critical race theory, but it's applied to law, and it came before critical race theory, they're staffing the Justice Department. They're staffing the FBI, and they have been for a generation.
A frightening thought, Mike. It really is. Now, you talk about deep state villains. Obviously, these things are not happening in a vacuum, right? And it's not happening just in intelligence or law enforcement. In fact, I just released a new book on education. I got a whole chapter on the Frankfurt School and what they did to our schools. So this is something that pervades all of society. Who are these deep state villains? What is their ultimate objective, Mike? And like, who's calling the shots? I mean, obviously Obama is an influential person here. I don't think a lot of people suspect Biden is really pulling strings anywhere, but, who is this? What is this? What's their objective? Where are they going with all this?
Put yourself in a bureaucratic mindset, first of all, and your job is to keep the country safe, whatever safe means. And whatever the country means, is it our constitutional founding principles, or is it just a piece of real estate with people inside who keep flooding in? What is that? Do you as a bureaucrat think your country is a bad country that's done bad things, founded by bad people on bad white supremacist principles on which we should all be ashamed and have to atone for? If those are the types of people protecting us, and they don't believe in our country anymore, by and large. But they're more the nerve center. So a lot of the people in there do believe in our country. They do believe in what we believe in, but they're stuck in the system. They won't leave. Some of them are bravely staying because they think, well, if I'm not here, some crazy is going to be here and it's going to get a lot worse. Others are close to their pension time or whatever. But if they're not doing something about it, they are part of the problem. So the deep state itself, though, is this apparatus that now views itself as supreme. Maybe they don't say it that way, but if you look at what Chuck Schumer, of all people, said, so the Senate Majority Leader, Senate Democrat leader, when Trump came in saying he was going to tackle this problem, what did Schumer say?
Six ways from Sunday to get back at you.
So you have then the top Democrat elected in the country telling the incoming Republican president, none of us have any power against this huge apparatus. It is a state within a state. Schumer's never tried to take them on. So people of both parties are afraid to take them on. Well, that's not what these agencies were created to do. They were created to save our constitutional republic. And instead, you even have Chuck Schumer afraid of it. So when they deny that there's a deep state, I'm sorry, Chuck Schumer is the one who said they'll come after all of us if we try to do anything about it.
Yeah. And they have gotten so open about this. I remember John McLaughlin, former acting director of the CIA, on a panel discussion, being asked about the deep state coming after Trump. And he says, well, thank God for the deep state. I mean, it's just like out in the open now. They don't even bother to hide it. We're down to about 3 minutes, Mike. And I don't want to leave people just on a doom and gloom. I know you have some ideas in the book. How do we fix this before it destroys our country?
Well, it's an election year. And the first thing to do is the federalism part of it. We're all going to vote this fall. Sheriffs are on the ballot across the country, and our local sheriffs are our best bulwark against a lot of this, because the sheriffs, as with state and local police, are the eyes and ears of the FBI and the ATF and everything else. They don't know the local terrain and the local people. The federal authorities need the sheriff. So the sheriffs have the authority to say no. They have the authority to impose conditions. A lot of sheriffs simply deputize federal agents who cannot enforce federal or state laws. But if they're deputized as sheriff's deputies, the feds can enforce state laws, and then they're allowed in to do whatever they want. So we have to ask every incumbent sheriff and every candidate for sheriff, what are you doing to make sure that these abuses aren't held under your responsibility? And what can we do to support you? And then figure out who we're going to vote for as sheriff. That's the first one. Second one is the next president, hopefully Donald Trump, comes in with a plan, comes in with a real team this time, because he didn't understand what he was up against last time. Now he does. Action plan. which executive orders are you going to repeal? The Obama ones, the Biden ones. Repeal them right away. Which ones are you going to have pre-written to impose on day one? Just like Biden did, just like Obama did, just like Clinton or even Reagan did. Trump didn't do it last time, so now he can. With the right team to put in the right situations, then we can solve this problem, or at least come a long way towards solving it, especially if he has a friendly Congress to write laws now to introduce 1 year from now and then pass them by both houses and a president signing them.
Well, those are all things that everybody, I hope, out there listening to us will take into consideration, guys. This is serious. I mean, we're talking about the future of our country on the line here. So I hope folks will not be demoralized or discouraged, but will take this opportunity to get involved in doing these things. I couldn't agree with you more. You know, we have to develop relationships with our local sheriffs. You know, the Constitution is still the supreme law of the land, and we want that enforced. Mike, the book is Big Intel, How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains. I know it's available on Amazon. I know it's at Costco. How would you like people to go out and get a copy of this book? What's the best way from your perspective?
Just get a copy. Whoever, jump online right now and get it. What's your favorite bookseller? Even Target online sells it. And Costco, you can go down, and it's right there between Britney Spears and Elon Musk.
Fantastic. Mike, thank you so much for writing this book and exposing these problems. We really appreciate it. Thank you for coming on the program today and sharing about it. Folks, Big Intel, How the CIA and FBI Went from Cold War Heroes to Deep State Villains. This is a book that you're going to want to get. This is not a joke. This is not a test. We're talking about the future of law enforcement, the future of intelligence, the future of our constitutional republic, the future of the liberties of our children and our grandchildren. This is about what we're going to pass on to the next generation. And if we don't deal with it now, we're going to have some serious explaining to do. I want to thank you all for listening. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Alex Newman, senior editor at The New American. We appreciate you tuning in always. And God willing, we shall be with you again next week. Until then, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. And God bless you all.
The John Birch Society has been working tirelessly since 1958 to preserve freedom, safeguard the Constitution, and restore our God-given rights. We continually educate voters and lead the freedom movement. Join us as we work against a tyrannical one-world government. United as one, we can defeat this conspiracy against a free America. JBS founder Robert Welch said, "Education is our total strategy and truth our only weapon." Join us in restoring this great nation.